There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Lori and Julia for Ann Tressler and her family law team at Tressler Law.
Julia, we're all ready to make this year so much better than the last. There are reasons for optimism and getting our lives back to normal, maybe even better than before.
Lori, you're so right. For some of us, getting back to normal means moving forward with the next step in our lives. For many, that means the decision to move forward with divorce. I know from my own experience with Ann and her team that it's important to make sure you are protected and have someone on your side to look out for your best interests and save you from costly mistakes in the future.
Helping people make the best of a bad situation is what she does. She can take the burden of the divorce process off your shoulders and guide you through the system so you can move forward and give your family the best situation possible.
You can get a free one-hour divorce consultation in person or over the phone if that's where your comfort level is. You can get in touch with Ann and her team at TresslerLaw.com or by using MyTalk keyword divorce.
All right, my talkers, it is Thursday. It's a little snowy out there. I don't know about you guys, but I've had enough of the snow. But you know what? Lori and Julia here to get here. We're going to forget about this snow for a while because you guys are going to make us laugh, right?
Yes. And you know what? I was glad to see the snow come because all that rain on Monday was screwing up with our paths, our skating rinks, our all the winter stuff that people like to do. Yeah, so I'm glad. Let's get some new snow
cover
and freshen it up.
Got it.
Julia, I felt real bad. I thought of you. I thought, oh, if Julia were here, she'd be fretting over the fact it's raining on Martin Luther King Day, a big school holiday, a big place for local day for local skiing. And it poured.
Yeah. It poured the whole day.
I was like, we were in Seattle.
I'll never forget once.
And I'm like, oh, those poor skating rinks.
In the pouring rain in the UP with little kids. It was just, and the runs are a little longer there.
Yes.
And it was pouring. We were soaked so many layers through. And you couldn't get off the chairlift and you couldn't get down. It was just like,
that's not good.
Oh, we were so wet and cold. No.
Not good. But you know what is good?
What?
Happy birthday, Dolly Parton.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Our favorite person in the whole wide world. She's a wonderful woman who's 77 today.
That's right.
77. And Julia, we posted her life in pictures.
Yes.
Because I wake up, you know, this morning and after I'm done watching, you know, my morning programs and a little late night, I thought, oh, I'll go see what's on Twitter. And I'm like, why the hell is Captain Kangaroo twitching? Apparently, Dolly Parton. I almost could taste my Frosted Flakes or the other one that I loved, Captain Crunch.
Sugar Smacks.
Yeah, Sugar Smacks were very good.
Smacks.
Smacks.
They had the best milk.
But Dolly was on Captain Kangaroo.
Back in the day. Was she one of the helper people or she was just a performer?
This would have been after she was on Porter Wag or, you know, whatever, in the 60s. But that clip was trending. And I thought, how did that Captain Kangaroo not scare me with that hairdo?
We all watched it.
I know, but that hair alone made him look like such a creep. But that's why Captain Kangaroo is trending, because Dolly was on Captain Kangaroo and then people started reminiscing. So I'm glad you posted her life in pictures.
Okay, I've got
It's actually not just a life in pictures. It's like a life. It's a video. So you can watch and it shows like her doing different things on TV all the way back to the beginning of her career towards even now. So it's
she's
kind of
changed.
Like a video.
Her looks have changed.
Of course.
Her plastic surgery is excellent.
Excellent.
You want to know who did it. All right. So here's the deal. So Duncan Hines had the Southern Banana Cake Mix partnership with Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah, we got that.
I've got the cake mix.
The mother-daughter team from Rochester sent it to us.
Yeah. Yes.
You were gone. I took it. I had it for like a month or two.
No, I've had it for 2 months.
And Jeff even went out and bought the pudding and the extra eggs and the cream you need to make it because it needs way more things.
A lot of ingredients. I looked at the box and I was like, I got to go to the grocery store.
He went out and bought it all. And I never made it. And then you were harassing me. I should have. And I'm like, fine, you take it.
Yeah.
So now you've had it for a couple months and it's still not made. But her partnership is expanding. So here's a couple things to celebrate her 77th.
Nice.
Her partnership with Duncan Hines. She's going to do cornbread mixes.
Perfect.
She's doing biscuits and brownie mixes.
Oh, wow.
She's doing the rock album that kind of she was inspired when she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Her partners, Paul McCartney, Elton John, Simon Le Bon.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the
Cher,
Pat Benatar, Joan Jett. We got a whole bunch of great people. And iconic singers, Ringo Starr and Mick Fleetwood play on it. Mm-hmm. Other Stephen Perry, John Fogerty. The one who said no is Mick Jagger. And they're doing Satisfaction with Brandi Carlile and Pink.
Oh, I love that.
I like that trio.
I like that.
Yes.
Now I feel real good because, Julia, for the My Talkies, which kicked off today, I voted once already today.
Yeah. You can vote from every machine,
That's
people.
Right.
Just once, though.
And
we want to take home the gold.
Well, I don't really care about that, but like I do care about some of the categories. But our pick for Lifetime Achievement Award was Dolly Parton.
Oh, fantastic.
That's right.
Because I thought, I don't know who had a bigger, better year in 2022. Seems like Dolly, you know, just everything Dolly.
James Patterson run. Rose Run is being made into a movie now.
Yeah, all these things. So the Queen was picked by Bradley and Dawn.
Oh, that was a good pick.
Okay, and then Harrison Ford by Donna and Steve, no. Michelle Yeoh, no. She's going to win acting. And then Angela Lansbury by the Academy. But to me, the Lifetime Achievement Award is for somebody who's alive.
Oh, I love it. It's going to matter whoever we have in.
So the Queen and Angela are gone. So the My Talkies, the Academy should have had a category that people will miss the most who died in 2022.
Oh, yes.
That's a category.
So funny.
They could
I would have had Leslie Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been a category, but you don't give Lifetime Achievement Awards to people who are dead. So if that persuades your voting.
Sorry, that is just an excellent point just by the name of the award.
Ward, you're alive.
Time.
Must be alive.
Can I just add two more things to Dolly then that she's doing?
Yes.
She's starting her own TV network.
Oh, my gosh.
And she might have her own singing program on the network.
Mm.
She's going to have movies. And she's doing a cookbook with her sister, Rachel.
Oh, my gosh.
And the movie is based on the novel she wrote with James Patterson, Run, Rose, Run, which I read. Anyway, she's not stopping.
She is, for 2022, she achieved the most.
I would agree.
Hands down. Yes. Everything she did.
Everyone, just stop what you're doing and go to your machines.
Dolly. I mean, all of the categories are up, Julia. The categories are TV streaming show of the year. I feel, you know, that's going to be a tight one. I think it's going to come down to Wednesday, which you and I picked, White Lotus, and then the dreaded Academy, Yellowstone, and none of the Academy even watches Yellowstone. This was the weakest season they had.
Oh, it's terrible.
So it really is going to come down to White Lotus and Wednesday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But numbers-wise, not to, you know, we'll be doing this. Numbers-wise.
Not to sway anyone's voting.
Numbers-wise, Wednesday, hands down, wins because it is the third most watch show of all time,
mm-hmm.
and it is only behind Squid Games, which came out 2 years ago, and mm-hmm. Stranger Things, which is on its fifth season. Wednesday's clearly the streaming winner.
It was the it also had broke a record for like the most amount of binging hours in its first week of release.
Yes.
Is some other record that it's
in
the top two.
It's so good. Real good about that category in Lifetime Achievement. Other ones, you know, who knows? But it is kind of fun. But we did get stuck with some picks that weren't our original picks. I just want you to know while you were gone, it wasn't because people were just
dropping
the ball.
Everyone had the same pick.
Yeah, all of us had for what the hell, the WTF moment of the year. I think every show picked the Oscar slap.
Yeah.
And you know who got it? Jason and Alexis.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, when you think about it,
that one's going to win.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
No, and that one's going to win.
Of course it is.
It's NyQuil Chicken, Adam Levine screenshots, Heidi Klum worm costume, and TJ Holmes and Amy,
Amy Robach
Escandalo. I mean, it was Oscar slap.
It was the slap around the world.
So that is the clear winner.
Yes.
Yes.
And please go ahead and vote for that, because we're all, when I voted today, I didn't vote for our pick. I voted for that.
Well, that, because that was
really, and I tried to argue with Amy yesterday about why, how was it that Jason and Alexis got that pick? And they could, no one could
answer.
They're
the first show on in the day.
That basically is it. They were drawing numbers out of a hat.
There you go.
For some of the ones, because we had some of the same answers.
Yeah.
And all four shows picked the same thing.
Well, we must have gotten some that other people didn't get.
Well, we got the Kanye asshat of the year. I feel real good about that. Mm-hmm. So Kanye versus Elon, James Corden, Adam
Everyone
Levy.
Got a good one.
Yeah. Yes.
Everyone got one because they pulled four different names out of the hat of shows.
That's right.
Yeah. So they're the My Talkies. They're up right now for something to do if you want. Yeah. Totally fun.
Yeah.
Do you mind? mytech1071.com.
Do you mind before we go if I give one quick shout out?
Please.
There was a very nice, I was at Lily's nurse's Christmas party. I know it's a little late last night, but her coworker, Nurse Jenna, came up to me and she said, my grandma is the biggest Lori and Julia fan on the planet. Grandma Diane is her name.
Hi, Grandma Diane.
So
Grandma
Di. Yeah, I just want to say hi and thank you for always listening. And I wanted to give her a shout out because this is going to make her day. And so thank you for always listening, Grandma Diane.
Aww. That is so nice. We do keep a lot of people company, Grant.
We do. We do.
A lot of people thank that might be lonely. Not saying Diane is lonely, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I know.
Lonely people that count on us all over the world, Julia.
Lori, I absolutely love you. And the thing about counting on us, if you live right here in the great state of Minnesota, the MyTalk app, if you listen to it,
yes,
you can win tickets to the Billy Joel Stevie Nicks concert.
And Sam Smith.
And,
And next week, we're giving away Madonna. All right, we got to go. It's our story we can't get enough of. We'll be right back.
All right, gang, it is us. We absolutely love Hammernick's. And if you guys haven't been there before, I had a couple friends who went there over the holidays. And they're like, Julia, we hear you talking about it all the time. We're going to go.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved the service.
What were they looking for? Carpeting pricing. Or pricing? Were they getting pricing?
And luxury, the wide plank vinyl flooring, because it looks like wood.
It does.
I mean, it is so beautiful. Amazing. And they also have wood veneer. You can get that as well. But it really is so gorgeous and really, it's
more affordable than you think.
100%. Yeah. And, you know, at Hammernick's, they've got all of their installers on staff, which makes that super easy because you don't have to go out and find, you know, be your own general contractor and find them on the side. They have it all for you, soup to nuts. Or you can do it yourself if that's what you like. Great selection, wonderful people, and convenient hours. They're open 7 days a week. That's hammernix.com for more information. When you stop by, tell them Lori and Julia sent you. Thanks, Grant.
All right. Well, shocker of shocks. Alec Baldwin, the news came out today that he and the armorer would both be charged with involuntary manslaughter, I believe. And they had George Stephanopoulos had Dan Abrams on this morning.
And for the killing of
Helena Hutchins on the movie set of Rust that happened about 15 months ago. And just like one of the most, you know, tragic stories that we've had happen with a on-set film, you know, death. You know, there's been other famous, it's been a long time. Brandon Crow, yes. Or Brandon Lee was killed on The Crow, and that was quite a while ago, but this was just real shocking. And what was more shocking was just Alec Baldwin was such an idiot, being smug and rageful about all of this instead of just shutting up and being quiet and just waiting till the end, because it obviously was an accident.
It obviously
a
was
a terrible
accident,
right. But how did the real life bullet get in there? And this morning,
so George, what he did is he went on and he got in.
I'm getting to that. Okay, so okay. George says to him, to Dan Abrams, well, what do you think? And he says, well, he certainly did himself no favors when he did that interview with you, George. So we'll see what the district attorney for New Mexico has to say. So this is at about 10:30 this morning. Here's ABC News Live.
About a year ago, Alec Baldwin did an interview with our George Stephanopoulos. And in it, he said that he did not pull the trigger of that gun in this instance, and seemed to want to emphasize that. I want to play that bite for you.
So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off. I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
At the moment. The decisive.
That was the moment the gun went off, yeah. That was the moment the gun went off.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never. Mm. Never. That was the training that I had. You don't point a gun at me and pull the trigger.
Dan, since then, an FBI report has said that the gun could not have actually been discharged without pulling the trigger. How much is this going to come into play in this case now?
A lot. I think it already may have come into play. A lot. Mm. I think that the fact that Alec Baldwin went out publicly and insisted that of course there was no way he pulled the trigger, and that now prosecutors likely don't believe that, hurt him in the process of deciding whether to charge him and what to charge him with. Now, does that necessarily mean there would have been a different decision if he hadn't done the interview? No. But this is a perfect example of why lawyers tell clients who are under investigation or who've been charged not to speak to the media, because this really did hurt him.
And
perfect example.
A perfect example. And they also might have taken into account the length of time, how long it took Alec Baldwin to turn his phone over.
Right. It was
almost
a
year.
Yeah, it was a long time.
They had to fight with him, and both Alec Baldwin and you know, the armorer, Gutierrez Reed.
Yeah.
They both their lawyers released different statements, but they both are planning on fighting it.
Yeah.
But we'll see what evidence, you know, they present. The district attorney was blistering towards Alec Baldwin. And just because you're an actor doesn't mean you get a free pass. Just because you were on a film set doesn't mean you get a free pass. They took into account basically the workers, the people that walked off because there had been two or three gun firings that scared people. And so the morning of the shooting of that scene, which resulted in a shooting, like 15 people walked off the set because they said it was on. So, you know, it was all these different things. And Helena's husband released a statement. They're very happy that these two are getting charged with involuntary manslaughter.
Which was so weird, because about 3 months, maybe 4 months ago, Helena's husband said he was going back to work with Alec Baldwin because they wanted to finish Helena's story. They wanted to finish
Rust. Let me Hollywood speak that. This is how Alec Baldwin's insurance was able to pay off some money to her husband. Because this movie, I think, and he maybe is going to have the rights to, maybe he's going to use the beautiful scenery footage the husband has, you know, and put together but he's getting the rights to that footage, and he got paid money.
Right.
Because Alec Baldwin is probably not going to have anything. So, they're both being charged one count of involuntary manslaughter. And the prosecutors will have to prove there's underlying negligence. And then a fourth degree felony as well. And the assistant director who said, you know, cold gun, he signed a plea deal for the charge of a negligent use of a deadly weapon. And he got a suspended sentence and 6 months of probation. Now, we'll see if Alec Baldwin right. and Hannah, if they decide on the advice of their lawyers, they should take a plea deal or if it's going to go to trial. But right now, I mean, so far, we haven't had a wave of smug rage from Alec Baldwin. But we said at the time when he sat down last year with we couldn't believe the things he was admitting to and saying over and over. We're like,
it's the first thing you guys said.
Why is he doing this? It was his ego. It was only his ego. He had guilt on him. I mean, he needed to set it himself free. But it was just so wrong. And it was
It's a kid caught in a lie trying to tell their story so they don't feel like they lied.
Yeah. It was shocking because all the political pundits this morning didn't think this was going to happen.
Only Dan Abrams, and he said, because of your interview with him, George.
And then a lot. I love how he emphasized, how is this going to affect the trial? A lot.
Man. Anyway, so still so sad for her family, the son and her husband and all of her. I mean, just
tragic.
Tragic thing. All right, listen, we have a great book.
Back.
And Julia, for once, has read on vacation and read books cover to cover.
Nice. Yes.
Hey, guys, it's Lori and Julia here for Crutchfield Dermatology and Medi Spa. And there are some really great specials going on in January with the Hydrafacial. You know, get your pores cleaned out, get your fine lines cleaned out, get things really cleaned, and then give yourself the opportunity to indulge in all the solutions that they're putting into your face to help you increase your collagen output.
And this is a good time of year, too, also moisturization. To do like a celebrity peel or just do some kind of an AFT pixel laser.
Yes.
Because we're not
in the sun all the time. Exactly.
It's a very good time of the year to do that. I stopped by Crutchfield, their winter party that they had last night. A lot of low-J people had stopped by. And so Dr. Crutchfield and the Medi Spa team want to thank people because they showed up. They had some packaging and stuff, and Valentine's Day is coming. And if you need a gift card that somebody will absolutely love, and you can call Linda and get a gift card. It's 651-209-3679.
Okay, we are delighted to have with us Marie Bennett, who has written
Benedict.
Oh, thank you. Who's written the book The Mitford Affair, which is unbelievable, and a story I never knew about before about the Mitford sisters. And we are so delighted to have you with us, Marie. This book I read on my honeymoon last week, and I could not put it down. And it's nothing, you know, we've read so much historical fiction, and you are such an excellent writer, but this story is wild. We want to also mention we're sponsored by the Book Club Restaurant. And if you go in there and mention Lori and Julia, you get a hot toddy. Mm-hmm. All right. So hi, Marie. After all that, sorry.
Hi. I mean, wow. Thank you, first of all, for reading it, enjoying it, bringing it on your honeymoon. I don't know any details about that, but wow. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for
having me. You got to have a great book on a beach vacation. And I knew a little bit about the Mitford sisters, only in that I'm a longtime subscriber to Vanity Fair. And I feel like they have had excerpts of like authorized books about the Mitfords. And I remember just thinking, oh, I don't want to read one of those books, but I'm glad I'm reading the Vanity Fair. And so for you to have this fictionalized story of their life is just fantastic.
Well, thank you. I mean, honestly, those sisters gave me so much raw material to work with. I mean, they, you know, for people who aren't familiar with them, you know, they're these brilliant, beautiful, eccentric kind of it girls of the 1920s and 30s. They're aristocrats in Great Britain. Each one is, you know, a little nuttier than the next, and yet they find themselves in the epicenter of the lead up to World War II in ways that are, I don't know if you guys would agree, but are kind of mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling.
And we want people to read the book, so we don't want to.
You tell everyone.
No spoilers.
Marie. How did you come across or get interested in the Mitford sisters as a topic for this possible, you know, novel?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, I this is what I write. You know, I write about real historical women who've left legacies, right? But who generally aren't that well known. Some are super unwell known, and some are like the Mitfords who have kind of I don't know, inhabit our understanding in some very peripheral way.
Yes.
And I got to know them a little bit when I was actually in college, too long ago to mention. Mm-hmm. And I was on a Eurail pass with a friend, and I wanted to bring a book that could get me through because we didn't have cell phones. And so I found a compendium of Nancy Mitford, the oldest Mitford sister, her novels. Two of the most famous ones, Pursuit of Love and Love in a Cold Climate, are like thinly veiled, fictionalized accounts of this really quirky upper class British upbringing that she and her sisters had. You know, they were kind of wealthy. They lived on these crumbling manors and they were kind of left to their own devices, and they were funny. And I just sort of found them entrancing. But when I was doing the deep research for another book I wrote called Lady Clementine, which is about Winston Churchill's wife, I learned a lot more about them because actually, Clementine Churchill is cousin to the Mitford sister's father. She's actually a lot more than that, but that's a story for another day. And so I started to learn more about the kind of escapades that these sisters get up to, which puts them, you know, really with unbelievable access to the leaders of pretty much every European country, Italy, Germany, Great Britain, in the lead up to World War II and at all these sort of political machinations that are happening during this time. And when I learned that, I just knew I wanted to tell their story in some way.
Oh my gosh, Marie, I guess for me, you know, it's so weird. It was so different reading a story about sisters in the 1930s. One of them got a divorce from a Guinness heir and goes off for this fascist leader that she just was so compelled with. You didn't even hear about divorce back then. And then their fascination with Adolf Hitler. I'm sorry. I just have never read anything like this. Did you just flip?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that because I had never thought I would write anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have these sisters, these two of the sisters become absolutely enamored with fascism. And as you mentioned, this is not really a spoiler. One leaves her Guinness heir husband for the head of the British Union of Fascists. And the other sister moves to Germany and she's a teenager and she insinuates herself into Adolf Hitler's inner circle. Mm-hmm. And these two girls have access that no one else in Europe has to Nazism and to what's happening. And I had to, because they're actually enamored with it, look at Hitler and Mussolini and Oswald Mosley and their movements through their eyes to tell their stories. And sometimes it was extremely hard to do because how reprehensible those characters are.
Right.
And yet, in order to understand how they could take these, you know, these almost unimaginable steps that they do, I had to understand why these people were so compelling to these girls.
Right. And it's interesting, too, you know, because you think of sometimes how loyalty has to be set aside because there's something greater going on. But people have very different ideas, too, about what loyalty is.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point, you know, and where their lines are, where your loyalty to family or ideology or your belief systems, where the line between that and something else is.
Because we see that now. You know, I mean, you know, like you have with the January 6th or people who believe that. No, but I'm just saying that is a mindset have to put yourself into in the 20s, 30s, when all of this was just taking a foothold.
It's
and
just,
slowly
right.
getting into people's heads and minds that it was okay. I mean, something to be learned from it, remembered.
In what you said, we're with Marie Benedict. Her book is The Mitford Affair. She just chooses to write the hidden stories of historical women. And really, I have to, you know, Lori and I, prolific readers. I almost fell off my beach chair when I started reading about how obsessed they were with Nazism. This is just wild. But
it's wild.
I bet it was hard to
I mean,
write.
I was driven to this story in part. I mean, it's so crazy. But also because I wanted to understand how seemingly, normal as you think these women are, but women who have every advantage what it is that would attract them to these really extreme political movements, things that are just beyond our imagining. And you know, it's not, wasn't always pleasant to get in their heads
right.
and try and make sense of it. But I learned so much about the way in which people make choices around their belief systems. And, you know, that helped me understand a lot of sort of the polarizing things that are going on in our own world today.
Yeah, that, like that's what you said, Lori. Exactly.
I mean, that's what I thought, too. I just thought, oh, this is just, this is how it's done. You break the norms down little by little and... You know, it's kind of, it is a form of, you know, kind of a gaslighting situation. And then you have these sisters, they're sisters.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and they, that whole other layer of that. Gosh. And then the fact, the whole snobby British aristocrat situation and all of that.
And I have to ask you, because you did all your research, because you wrote about...
Clementine?
Yeah, Clementine Churchill, who was the cousin of the Mitford's sister's dad. Who seemed like he was a flip-flopper. Not as much as the mom. But
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but the fact that, you know, Winston Churchill, you see him come back, you know, kind of into power because he was ignored while, you know, Hitler was getting all of his power.
And Neville Chamberlain was being a bootlicker to Hitler.
This is fascinating. I love this book.
Well, and you know what's amazing is as I was looking at these sisters, I'm thinking, oh my God, how could they have these beliefs and support, you know, fascism? There was actually a big faction of upper class British society that got behind it because they really looked at the, at this sort of polarized political landscape as a battle between fascism and communism. And the communists would never allow them to keep their titles and their land and their money. And but the fascists might. So it was kind of they were choosing between the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And so there was actually a reasonably sized faction that, that believed the sort of things that Diana and Unity, the two sisters, believed. But no one went to the lengths that, they, that those two went.
This would be such a, because I know your book birthday was just a couple days ago. This would be an excellent book for a book club discussion.
Unbelievable.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I, that's what I hope. I hope that people can gather together and really kind of pick apart the, these really, this crazy story and these really textured issues that are in it.
Yeah.
The, including and, things like issues.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, one of the things that fascinated me, which I think a lot of people can relate to, I'm the oldest of six children. And while we are not the Mitfords, thankfully, you know, I do, I'm fascinated with the way in which sibling relationships form people's personalities and their beliefs. And it plays out in such bold relief with these Mitford sisters, right? You know, you see Jessica becoming a communist, not necessarily because that's what she believes, but because her sister, Unity, is a fascist.
I know, this was weird. I know.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they have this childhood bedroom where they draw a line down the middle and one's decorated with swastikas and the other's decorated with a hammer and sickle.
And this is real. This is real, people. I mean, this, Marie, I cannot. This book is has made us think. It's most unusual book I've read in a, we've read in a really long time. And it's so, it was such a page turner. And I bet when you were done, you're kind of like, oh, who's next?
I was spending one-on-one time with the Mitfords.
What do you have another, you know, did you come across another historical person that we need to know about? Are you already in the mix of it?
Yeah, actually, I have another book coming out in June. I have books that I co-write with another author, Victoria Christopher Murray. And the story we have coming out in June is called The First Ladies, and it's about the friendship between Eleanor Roosevelt and a woman that we should know as well as we know Eleanor. Her name was Mary McLeod Bethune. She was the first, the 15th in a family, firstborn free.
Mary
she founded a college.
Yes, the black woman.
Cookman College in Florida.
Yes.
And she became, I'm sorry?
That black woman from Florida. Everywhere you go, like in New Smyrna Beach, Daytona, it's everything is Bethune.
That's her.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
She and Eleanor became BFFs at a time of segregation, and they together behind the scenes really formed the foundation for the civil rights movement. So it was just such an honor to kind of delve in and find out there about their secret friendship.
And when's that book coming out?
In June. We'll talk with Kathleen Downer. We'll talk with your publicist. You were so delighted to get to know you. I want to go back and read your other books, Marie. Thank you.
Thank you
for your time. We have to ask you the last great book that you read.
Oh, geez. That's such a tough one because I read so many books. I really loved The Marriage Portrait by Maggie O'Farrell, which is about Lucrezia de' Medici. She was a young teenager in the Renaissance period who was like forced into a marriage. And it's just another like kind of unknown historical woman and like a really crazy story.
I hope The Mitford Affair gets picked up and produced by like maybe Nicole Kidman and it's on Netflix.
Yeah,
maybe
it's a great story.
Oh, from your mouth.
Yeah,
please.
Like a 10-part series, the costuming, the sets, it would be great.
Yes. Oh, me too. Let's make that happen.
Okay, Lori's on it. What a delight to meet you, Marie.
Cool project.
Thank you for your time. What a delight for us.
Thank you so much for chatting with me and for reading.
Oh, love it. All right, the book is The Mitford Affair. Give us a buzz at 651-641-1071. We've got a couple copies to give away. Or go pick it up because this book is something that'll stick with you, The Mitford Affair. Bye, Marie Benedict. Thanks so much, Marie.
Nice. Have a great day.
You too. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, everybody. You know, we're so sorry about how passionate we are about reading and learning. RX has scientifically proven way to teach people to learn how to read. And if your child is struggling with school and not picking up reading, it makes absolutely everything hard. And there's help for it. One-on-one brain training through LearningRx works. Their proven system of teaching people how to read works. It's amazing the changes that you will find in your child when they start to learn how to pick up reading, are able to keep things in their mind instead of having to reread and reread and reread.
Yeah, school will go from being something that's really a struggle and something that takes your kids' confidence down to being something enjoyable. You can feel good about it, and it sets you free as far as for the rest of your education life that you have, because the reading
is
key.
Call LearningRx. The Mitford Affair, want to shout out to Joey. We know you. And Barb, I think we know you too. So congratulations, both of you. Grant will put the books out in the mail.
Sweet.
Again, this was just a different type of book. And it stays with you.
I when she said it, when we asked her, how did you find out about the Mitfords? Because I had only heard of them because there was like an excerpt from a biography about the Mitford, the lives of the Mitford, a book about them that was factual. It wasn't a historical fiction.
Yeah.
And so I had heard that name and I just thought, wow, six beautiful sisters, but they were
one
on the
brother.
Cusp. Yeah, all of that. But when she said she found out when she was on a Eurail pass and she'd picked up two of Nancy Mitford's books, and I thought, geez, my Eurail book that I read to my two
girls. Do you remember?
The Story of O.
I remember you told me that.
Oh,
okay, that's right.
That's
that was
when we learned about S&M, and we learned about all kinds of things we had no idea. And I would read to the girls on the train. And when the author died, we were on the air. She, she kept her identity secret for like 40 years.
And
that woman, The Story of O. It'll make all your tingly bits tingle.
I remember you said that was yours.
It was the first erotic book I ever read, and it was really quite something. I'd read like Dear Xavier Hollander and Playboy.
Of course you did.
And whatever.
I never read any of those. I read Where Like the Dove Flies by Kathleen Woodless, or some of those bodice rippers.
Yeah. We were on a train together.
How fun.
We picked it up in Europe. We were like, we didn't know how long some of these train rides were.
Remember when you were just so desperate to find a book, you'd find it anywhere?
And like, I read aloud to my friends, and my one friend would just be going, oh my God, stop, stop. And my other friend, keep going, keep going.
I can tell you which ones who was who.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, speaking of books, Pamela Anderson.
Yes.
She covers People magazine. She's the cover story, and Graham posted the cover story. Her January 31st In a couple of weeks, this is a big day for her. Her documentary, Love, Pamela, drops on Netflix, and her memoir of the same name, Love, Pamela, drops in, you know, bookstores. And People's cover says, the Pamela Anderson, you don't know her story of survival. And I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, think about it. You know, Pamela, whatever, she's 52 or 54, whatever she is, her whole life has always been reduced to her body, the sex tape, and her marriages.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. Mm-hmm. You know, play, but yeah, that's it. And never had
her looks.
Her looks, mm-hmm, yeah, her body, yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I'm very intrigued to,
yes,
watch the documentary and possibly read the memoir, because my gosh, she really survived a lot of traumatic stuff just from the excerpts that people has given us. Well, I mean, and she did promise us, remember, after the Hulu thing came out, she's, yep, like, I'm going to tell my story, and
right,
I'm going to tell my story.
You're 100% right.
I don't know if she's going to write about Julian Assange, because I have to say I am interested in that. But we do know that...
She said that Tommy Lee really was...
My relationship, yep, with Tommy may have been the only time I was ever truly in love. We had fun and our rules were no rules. But the theft of their personal tapes from a safe in their garage, which was then made into a sex tape, increased the tabloid and paparazzi's relentless pursuit of them. She said it ruined lives, starting with our relationship. And it's unforgivable that people still to this day think they can profit from such a terrible experience, let alone a crime, who's never watched it. And
it's kind of, remember when we started watching the Hulu thing, we were so excited for it. And then we made it through one and a half.
Three. I think I,
yeah,
made
I think
through
I made
three.
Through two. Mm-hmm. And I was just so grossed out. And then knowing that she didn't want it out there, I thought it was, yeah, I hate it. Yeah, we just quit.
I just quit.
I felt like we were...
Part of it, like,
part
if
of,
she doesn't want to see it, we don't want to see,
no,
it, because,
right,
we're on her side.
100%.
And she writes in the book that she was holding 7-month-old Dylan, and he twisted her arm, pulled it back behind, yep, her, and
seven
Tommy ripped
old
Brandon off me and threw Dylan and me into a wall after he twisted her arm, and she called 911. He was arrested, served 6 months in jail, and she said, and that's really when everything just kind of went to hell. I divorced him, even though we both still loved each other. Mm-hmm. She said, it was the hardest, lowest, most difficult point in my life. I couldn't believe that the person I love was most capable of what happened. That night, we were both devastated, but I had to protect my babies, and I had to get away from him. And she said she and Tommy check in every once in a while, and he's the father of kids, and, yep, I'm forever grateful. But seemed like kind of, you know, felt bittersweet. So I don't know. Maybe I will read this book.
Well, we tried to get it on. I was so mad that they never got it.
Oh, did you
me.
Contact them?
Oh, totally.
Well, I think she's just doing,
yeah,
the big stuff. She did CBS Sunday Morning. She's,
yeah,
covering People
I can't
magazine.
Understand.
Come on, Grant. Why isn't she answering Julia's call?
Jeez.
Why not?
But she seems like in a good place,
yeah,
you know, and I know I will watch it, and I think it'll be, because I think, yeah, you're right, Pamela. Your life has been reduced to that's all you are.
Was a pretty girl in the stands in Vancouver Island or something.
And then you were on Baywatch, and then you had a sex tape, and all, we all loved,
yep,
it, and then you can't, you're a fool in love. Ha ha ha.
So anyway. And when we saw her at Mr. Chow's, beautiful.
Kowalski's Markets is.